Did you know that Dillon Brothers arranges financing for nearly 70% of their motorcycle customers? Getting on the bike of your dreams might be easier than you think.
Dillon Brothers. Grab your freedom. Come on, let's ride.
Let's begin.
This is Game Time with Nick Vaughn.
It's time, sports fans.
Talking Huskers.
Touchdown, Huskers.
Blue Jays.
Yes! Oh, God! Jason! Oh, my God!
Sports and more for you from 11 to 2.
As we proceed to give you what you need.
On 1620 The Zone, Zone app, and 1620thezone.com. Live from the Nissan of Omaha studio, here's Nick Barr.
Welcome in second hour Game Time here on 1620 The Zone. Obviously, I'm in a good mood because of who we're going to talk to next, but then I hear the good news that Tim Brando of FS1 is going to be on the call for two Nebraska games, both in September, and he joins us now. Timmy B., two Nebraska assignments for you, huh?
Yeah, I'll be there week three for a noon game with Northern Illinois. And there's also, I believe it's a, help me out.
It's a Friday.
Friday game.
Yeah, at Illinois, correct?
A Friday game in Champaign-Urbana.
Yeah.
Conference tilt in late September. So I dig Friday games. That means I get to watch everything on Saturday.
Amen to that.
I realize there are a lot of people that think the sanctity of high school football should be preserved, but I hate to inform you, but that ship sailed a long, long time
ago.
And a lot of programs, particularly programs like, for instance, Purdue, who plays Ohio on a Friday game in week two, and Spencer and I'll have that one too. If you're in positions like Purdue and like Iowa, you know, to some extent, like maybe not one of the marquee programs, but a quality Big Ten team that's looking to maybe turn things around and get some exposure, you know, the Friday games are rating snatchers. I mean, they really are.
Yes.
The highest rated games that FS1 has had have been Friday games. In fact, I think the second highest rating up until maybe last year that FS1 had for a college football game was an Oregon-Cal game on a Friday night opposite game 5 or 6 of the World Series, and it did a mammoth rating. So on Big Fox, it was opposite the World Series and did a mammoth rating. Now, granted, we had Mario Mariota playing in that game. And,
yeah.
You know, when you have someone like Mariota, that's obviously a drawing card. But my point is, with the glut of games on Saturdays, so much can get lost, I think, and these Friday games, many times, and Thursday games too. It started with ESPN, and I think the Big Ten is probably in certain pockets, not everywhere. You know, certainly Ohio State doesn't need to do it, nor does Michigan. But I think it's a good thing. And if you talk to a lot of coaches, Nick, if they love Friday games if they get the win, it gives them a leg up on preparation following. And they get to spend a Saturday with their family.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm excited about it. Tim Brando is my guest of FS1. Tim, so you do, with Raycom Sports, you do a lot of one-on-one coaches interviews with whether it's a Dabo Sweeney or even a guy like Ed Orgeron. And I want to talk about Ed. He's got one of the best jobs in the country now, heading up LSU. What you've been around the block, Tim, you've been around a lot of high-level successful coaches. Does Ed have it? Like, are you confident that Ed's going to lead LSU to the promised land?
This has the chance to be one of the greatest stories in coaching that we've seen in the modern era.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has a chance to be a colossal mistake. And will be one of the most intriguing stories, I think, in college football this year. Listen, as one that was raised in Louisiana and knows all about the history of that institution when it comes to football, a lot of their fan base, as disappointed as they may be, fails to realize that, you know, this century, beginning really in the early 2000s when Saban came, up until now, and that includes last year's season, which obviously was, you know, not what they wanted and led to Les Miles' exit, was still a decent year, a quality season. This is the golden era, really, of LSU football. Were it not for Alabama's great success and who the head coach is, I think probably the fan base in my home state would recognize that it's the golden era. But they really have a problem with the fact that Saban left, had his two-year sabbatical with the Dolphins, and then when he screwed up the Drew Brees sweepstakes, found refuge in Tuscaloosa. And that is the rub that everyone in Louisiana has. It's not always just about where LSU is. It's where Alabama is and they aren't.
Right, right.
And that's the problem. Now, I've known Ed a long time. He's a tremendous recruiter. He is a charismatic guy, a little bit, you know, certainly different from Les Miles, but every bit as charismatic as Les in a different way. And there's no denying the energy and enthusiasm that he's created down there as one of their own. I mean, people think of Baton Rouge as South Louisiana. I'm here to tell you, it's not South Louisiana like he's South Louisiana. Mm-hmm. You know, he's from, like, Cutoff. He's down there in South Lafourche Parish where they talk like that. He was digging the ditches and he was dumping the shrimp for a long time down there, you see here. And when he speaks their language, they really identify with
sure.
it. And, you know, he was one of those small South Louisiana kids that was built strong and ready for football. His dad wanted him to be a coach, wanted him to be a player. He went to LSU for all of a week in 1977, and like a lot of kids from rural Louisiana, from rural South Louisiana, Baton Rouge was just too big. He came home. He was homesick. And he wound up over at Northwestern State, which is about an hour's drive from Shreveport over in Natchitoches, where he and Bobby Hebert teamed up and Gary Reasons for some really good teams that they had at Northwestern State at the Division I AA level. So this is a dream come true for him in so many respects, to be coaching at a place where he was too scared to play.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put that into perspective, it really tells you a lot about the story that we have here. It
yeah.
could be the kind of story that we have seen in the game in a long, long while. Now, that said, the mistakes that he made at Ole Miss. You can't deny that his record and his winning percentages as a head coach, both at Ole Miss and as an interim at SC and as an interim at LSU, are not at the level of the guy that he is replacing. And the other factor here is, and this is something a lot of the Blue Bloods have a problem with, is that they know that the athletic director, Joe Oliva, botched the search and that there was really no alternative but Ed Orgeron, because they weren't going to get Jimbo Fisher. They screwed that up the year before, and they weren't going to get Tom Herman because he was signed, sealed, and delivered for Texas, and LSU went along with this charade to make it look as if they were in the ballpark with both of those guys, and they weren't. So they'll turn on the administration, and they'll turn on Ed if things don't go well.
Right.
But boy, oh boy, if they do go well, Nick, it could be through the roof what this guy could do, because he's already an outstanding recruiter, and I think he's learned in the time that he was at USC how to be a big-time head coach.
Right.
I'm in his corner. I think he can get it done, despite the atrocious manner that athletic department has been run by Joe Oliva.
Tim Brando's my guest of FS1. Tim, so, God, I think it was yesterday on Twitter, you posted your top 10 preseason college football teams. And something that jumped out at me is you pegged Oklahoma State as a top five team. What do you like
right.
about Mike Gundy's squad?
Oh, they're the best of the Big 12 this year, and they return a lot of impact guys at the skilled positions. James Washington is a big-ticket wide receiver, built like a running back, but a fast wide receiver that can get behind people. And if he does happen to catch something in the seam, he's got those high hips that really make him difficult to bring down. So yards after catch are huge for him. Mason Rudolph, I think, has come a long way. And I've talked to some of my friends in the quarterback academies that have seen Mason this year in the offseason. Some of what he needed to work on, I think he's addressed. He's a quality kid. And I think that in today's world of college football, and especially in the Big 12, it is about the quarterback position. And, you know, he's gutted out some games already. But last year in the Oklahoma game, he had one of his worst outings. And that was a game, frankly, Oklahoma State had a chance to win. They really did. He had a poor outing.
Yeah.
And ultimately a couple of big plays, if you recall, by Mixon in the run game and Baker Mayfield were the difference. They really went toe-to-toe pretty well with him. This year, Bedlam will be in Stillwater. they'll likely have to play them a second time. I think that the Big 12 champion will have a loss, but I think it'll only be one loss. And I think Oklahoma State is going to probably have to play OU twice, but I think in the big ticket game they'll get it, and it'll open the door for them to have some success. Texas is going to be improved. I think that game will be valued both for Oklahoma and for Oklahoma State. But ultimately, I think the Cowboys are just a lot. You know, the national media never really gets Oklahoma State.
Right.
They never. It cost them in 2011, if you recall.
Mm-hmm.
They lost Thursday game in Ames, Iowa, after a plane crash took out their women's basketball team. Otherwise, they would have been playing LSU for the national title and not Alabama. About every 4 or 5 years, Gundy's got that team ready to win 12 games and maybe vie for a national title. I think it's his time.
I think it's a good call. Tim Brando's my guest. Sticking in the Big 12, I was going through some, you know, this time of year you get so starved for football, you get all your preview magazines, you just diving into them, and saw this little nugget that Texas returns 37 of their 44 two-deep starters, which is staggering. And now with Tom Herman, like, is it going to be a Harbaugh situation taking over Hoke where it's just like that instant pop where they're all of a sudden winning at a high level? Or is this a 2 to 3 year process with Tom Herman? What do you forecast for the boys in Austin?
Well, he doesn't have a dual threat quarterback, which is what he likes having. You know, he's got a really good, solid, I mean, that kid was outstanding last year, the son of a baseball player with the Texas Rangers, as you know. And I think he's got the talent to be a big-time quarterback and bring back memories of Colt McCoy. But truthfully, you know, what Tom really likes is a guy that's a dual-threat quarterback, sort of a Lamar Jackson kind of guy, and he's not that. We'll see how much patience he has, Tom, with this kid, because I think he's the goods. I think he's got a chance to be outstanding. Charlie said last year, and I believed him, and when I saw him late in the year, even in their loss at home to TCU, which was his last game on Thanksgiving weekend, he said this team was built to win 10 games next year. And I believe that. And I think next year is this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Herman is a good enough coach. I think his staff is solid enough that they're probably going to win, you know, 9 to 10 games. And I don't know that they'll win the Big 12, but they're certainly going to have a lot to do with who does. You know, how they play against Oklahoma, against Oklahoma State, could help determine the champion of the league. And I think it's going to be great for the Big 12 because people talk about the league being, you know, in dire straits. I don't really think it is if Texas and Oklahoma are good. And I mean consistently good. And lately they haven't been. You know, Oklahoma's been up and down. Texas has been mostly down and not up. And those two need to thrive for the rest of the league to get its street cred.
Right.
I like the Longhorns this year to win a lot of games. The schedule is tough early, but you got to expect that. But I don't see those kinds of losses that crept up on them last year on the road in the Big 12 that they had in the past. I think they're more together group, and Herman's, you know, he's a really solid offensive guy. He's really good at turning teams around, and they are really, really athletically as good as anybody they're going to line up with.
Tim Brando's my guest. Tim, we'll get you out of here with this one. I'm not sure if you ever crossed paths with USC last year and Clay Helton, but they, you know, they finished the season winning 9 in a row, and it feels like this time of year, every year, we pump that USC hype train. Hey, they're back. Here we go. Trojans, here it comes. Is this finally the year, Tim, that the hype in the preseason meets what we see, not just in, you know, 3-4 week stretches, but for a 3 month period?
I think it is. And look, I'm one of the first ones that used to say the media falls in love with USC too easily. You know, get on the, when I had my radio show, we'd play the OJs and Love Train, and USC was always on the Love Train. You know, every guy that had a platform, whether it was Platt or Herb Street or whoever, they were just, oh my God, fawning all over the men of Troy. And I'm going to tell you that I think Helton has done a remarkable job. They can't afford a lot of injuries. They are not as deep, say, for instance, personnel-wise, as a lot of the other top-tier teams. But you notice in my preseason picks, I've got them number one.
Yeah.
And the reason primarily is Darnold is so very good. And here's the thing. You can watch him in warm-ups, Nick, and you'd say, you know, maybe he's got his gym shorts on and maybe, you know, the shell pads. And you're saying, boy, he doesn't really look that big. And that arm just doesn't, it's not like he's spinning it better than everybody else. But when the game starts and you have to throw on angles, like Patrick Mahomes had to throw on angles for Texas Tech, he's able to make the throw that other guys can't make on the run that just kind of blows you away. His leadership skills are through the roof. I thought what they did at the end of the year against Washington, a team that was undefeated, looked really strong and maybe on its way to a higher ranking than the one it got, and they did manage to get in the college football playoff. What they did to Washington and Seattle really told me a lot about where they were as a program. And, you know, he's got a lot of talent around him. He stays healthy. I don't see any way USC is going to be stopped in the Pac-12. And the Pac-12 is really good. I mean, Stanford's not going to be bad. Certainly Washington is every bit as good as their advanced billing would indicate. I think Willie Taggart's going to improve Oregon defensively. And a lot of good teams in that conference, Washington and Colorado's going to be good again this year.
Right.
So, listen, these teams, UCLA, I think, will be better with Rosen returning at quarterback and hopefully healthy. But I think USC is just too good and too stable on both sides of the ball to be stopped. And I like them to win it all. I really do. Just as I picked Deshaun Watson and Clemson last year because I thought he was the best quarterback and overall best player, I'm picking SC on the basis of Sam Darnold. And really the job Clay Helton's done in assembling a really solid team. And remember, he did a lot of this coming out of the NCAA sanctions and some of the recruiting limitations that were there. So good for him.
Tim Brando, FS1. That's 15 minutes of outstanding stuff. Tim, you got a tee time today? You going to get out and play?
Not today. You caught me in between mowing one daughter's yard.
Okay.
And by the way, I've got a lovely four-bedroom, four-bath home in South Shreveport that's available if you'd like to move here at some point in time. Maybe
sounds good. Let me write that down.
Right now I'm paying taxes and mowing lawns on homes I'm trying to sell.
Yeah.
That's my new summer job, apparently.
Well, you know what? You'll have a more glamorous job here in a couple of months when you're calling some games on FS1. So at least you got that to look forward to, you know?
Never forget your roots.
That's right.
Never forget your roots. All right, buddy.
Tim Brando, good stuff. See you, Timmy.
You bet.
You got it. Tim Brando, FS1. He's got two Nebraska assignments, Northern Illinois, and then the road game at Illinois on Friday night. So a voice you're going to be hearing a lot of. That's 15 minutes of good stuff with Timmy B. Let's take a break. A little over 10 minutes away from Thor Tripp. We're also going to talk some Major League Baseball. KC Stern, MLB Network Radio. He's going to stop by at 1:15. More game time around the corner.